Podcasting 2.0 for February 17th, 2023, episode 122. We're trending! Hello, everybody. Friday, once again, time for the board meeting. That's not B-O-R-E-D. No, no, it's the B-O-R-A-R-D meeting of Podcasting 2.0, everything happening with the future of podcasting, which, of course, is now. Podcastindex.org, the podcast namespace, everything happening at podcastindex.social. Yes, we are your raft of refuge in a sea of big tech sludge. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, fresh from the API battlefield. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only pod sage, Mr. Dave Jones.
I may have been a little too... what do you call it? Like
aggressive?
No, not aggressive.
Open, vulnerable.
Too much bravado in what I could accomplish while you were doing the intro.
Oh, you were still trying to announce our liveliness, our litness, our.
I went to post it on podcastindex.social.
Yeah.
And it was great. And it was like 401. You're not authorized. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna log in. Oh. And then LastPass wants my 27 character master password, and I'm trying to type it. And I'm like,
wait a minute. You're still on LastPass?
Yeah.
Oh, but that thing's compromised, bro.
No, this. But I've got a fantastic password.
So yeah. So it's still, isn't it? I thought it was. I thought you were getting off of that, moving away. I thought you were discouraged, sad.
I am, but I'm not in a hurry. I'm good.
Okay.
No, I don't feel at risk. But I'm actually literally still trying to log in as we're talking.
I finally set up. What is that? Vault War? No.
Bitwarden.
No, not Bitwarden. It's the open. It's on Umbral. It's an open source version. Hold on. Now I got to check it.
KeePass.
KeePass. Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
KeePass. So KeePass. I have an app which is comes from the ever so trusted F-Droid, which I trust more than anything else, of course. And then I have the server side on my Umbral, which I think is okay.
I'm going to be a huge hypocrite on this because something about the open source aspect of KeePass makes me uncomfortable. And it's not the code itself. It's not the core KeePass code that bothers me, because I feel like that's great. I feel really good with an open source password manager, like the code itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's when I go to install it on my phone from the App Store. And it's like there's all these ones that are like KeePass apps. I'm like,
oh no,
who are these people?
Yes, remember, I'm running Graphene OS. I use F-Droid. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot, there's a lot of checks and balances going on. But you're absolutely right. There's other KeePass apps which look exactly the same, and it's that to me is the honeypot right there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm like, who are you? where's my passwords? Which server are they going to in what country?
Well, I got to wonder. I mean, for the longest time, I was just kind of keeping everything in the Brave password manager. Is that a very bad idea?
The Brave password manager?
It seems to be pretty. I never hear, oh, my stuff got stolen. Although autofill can be a problem, right? You can have some JavaScript or something can call for an autofill and you don't even know it, and it's hidden under something. And then before you know it, you've bought yourself a trip to Kuala Lumpur on your credit card.
Yeah. Congratulations on your travel miles. I think it's fine. It's just like it stores it locally. The only attack vector there is if something gets in your machine or if there's a 0-day in the Chromium core. But I mean, that's the whole thing of like once somebody gets in your machine, I mean, all bets are off. You're screwed already.
But still. Anyway, we are lit. We're lit and live. That means the show is recorded live to tape and before a live studio audience there in our chat room. If you're using Podverse, if you're using Podcast Addict, you probably got an alert if you're subscribed and you ask for alerts and you open it up. You got where you get all your podcasts. What did you get immediately? You got the chat room. You got the live stream. CurioCaster could be streaming it live. With many more to come soon. And you can now see all of the new apps at our handy new URL, podcastapps.com. Active. Yes. Podcast app. So, and guess what's not on there? Oh, Apple's not on there.
Amazon's not on there. Google's not, and Spotify. No. Podcastapps.com. This is where you go to get your podcast apps.
Oh, this is such a good domain name. Thank you, Marcus Couch.
Thank you, Marcus Couch.
That had to be expensive.
That's why I said, don't give it to us, man. Just you keep it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just forward it. Yeah, I don't know what he paid for it. He won't. He'll never tell me.
Uh-huh. I'm glad he didn't give. I'm glad he just forwards. No, because then he can sell it later.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it'll become a Kuala Lumpur travel site.
Podcast apps. No, not podcast.com. No. Podcastapps.com.
What?
Podcast.com. That never turned into any good business as far as I know. Who has podcast.com?
Oh, that's
Once Mark Cuban had broadcast.com and got $2 billion for it. Oh, it's a podcast directory.
Just Audible.
It's a podcast directory. What is this? Podcast.
Podcast.com goes to Audible.
Is that Audible? Podcast.com, I have a simple and affordable all-in-one podcast hosting and management platform.
Man, nope. When I type in podcast.com, it goes straight as a redirect.
What, do you have a podcasts or podcast?
No, just with a T.
Okay. Podcast.com goes to, yes, of course, Audible. Yes, there you go.
They should donate it to us, too.
Yeah, douchebags. I mean, juice sacks, juice pouches.
Yeah, Audible. We're here.
Yeah
we'll take a donation.
We're ready for you anytime.
Yeah.
Well,
this beef milkshake is not right. I dumped this in a hurry. I barely made it here for the show, and I did 10 ounces of milk, and I was like, well, that's a lot of milk, so I'm just going to dump two scoops of the beef milkshake in there. And now it's like it's just a big gelatinous goo. This is undrinkable.
This is not good.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
Oh, there we go. Oh, Dreb Scott, right away. 333,333 sats. It's been so long waiting for a podcast like this. Don't be a juice pouch. Donate. Support the index. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting.
Yeah, baby.
Wow.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, yeah.
333,333. Whoa.
It's a super magic number boost.
God, thank you, Dreb.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You know, we have a jingle for that somewhere. We have a.
We have a Dreb jingle?
No, we should have a Dreb jingle. No, we have a magic number jingle.
33, the magic number.
Boost!
The magic number. Boost!
There you go. I only brought one clip to the boardroom today, and I mean, you can just fire at will on that. It's anytime you feel froggy.
Oh, well, I'll hold on for a second then.
Okay.
I won't do anything. Thank you, Dreb. This is, of course, the instant feedback mechanism that is being lit with our boostograms. Man, before we get started, I want to get a little update from the battlefield. Last night, all of a sudden, you're posting about you're fighting with some scraper or someone hitting the API over a million times. And I have a question, but first, I'd just like to get the update. Are you okay? Are you wounded? Everything functioning? You have all your limbs still?
I got a little bit of shrapnel in the knee. Other than that, I'm all right. Yeah, I made it through. I smell like smoke, but I'm all right. Let's see, origin story. Oh, John Spurlock said the other day, maybe 3 days ago, he's like, hey, is something going on around 4 o'clock in the morning every night for like the last couple, two or three nights? Wait,
first question, what's he doing at 4 o'clock in the morning? That's my question.
I didn't ask him that.
World domination, no doubt. World domination. That's what he's doing.
Yeah. Hitting on the keyboard all night at 4 o'clock.
All right. So what was going on? And it's not just last night. It's every night now, I guess. Or it's happened before.
I don't know. I mean, you know, our crack system monitoring technology that... you know, tells me any time there's a hiccup,
it didn't alert me. So this was a sophisticated
scraper. You know why? Because there's not one.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would explain it. So when this happens, does this suck up resources? Does it jam anything? Or what is the result to us performance-wise?
Well, I looked back and I was like, I don't know if there's something going on. And then I did, with no information at all, I did what every good sysadmin does. I blamed Cloudflare. So I said, it's probably Cloudflare's down.
Yeah.
So, and that was just to buy me time so I could actually go and look and see what really happened. And so then I went and looked, and it was like around that time, it was, something started like 3 o'clock in the morning and went to about five. Uh-huh. For the last like two or three nights in a row, it was just hammer time on the API. And I thought, okay, that's weird. So I look back, and I have a couple of scripts that I can run that looks at the logs from the previous like 24 hours or so. And it'll tell me which developer account has hit the most and how many hits they had over a certain time frame. Mm-hmm. So I just ran that, and it was like some, you know, and it's always the same, you know, people that a very common pattern. I mean, it's like always, you know, Fountain, Podverse, you know, all these kind of, and so, and then it was just some, you know, rando out of nowhere. It was like 10 times as much traffic as anybody even close. I was like, okay, this is out of control. So it was some rando Gmail address with a bunch of numbers and no vowels in it. So I just deleted that guy. And then he comes back under a different Gmail address.
Oh, goodness.
Yesterday. And same guy, randomized.
Now you are assuming gender, which I think is very dangerous.
If this was a woman, I would actually love to know that, because that would be a first. Yeah. I've never seen a hacker, like any of the mugshots or any of these arrests that Europol does where they do a take. I've never seen a woman in any of these groups.
No, that only happens in the movies. It wasn't literally in Hackers, the movie Hackers. It was all
cool, Matrix,
cool chicks. Yeah, or in the Matrix, exactly. Yeah. How disingenuous is that?
Can we get that to happen, please? Because that's really good. Yeah, that's great. But whoever this woman was that started hammering the API came back
Stop
under a different name.
The hammering!
Sorry.
And just let us have it again. This time, 3.5 million requests about an hour and a half.
But now, I presume this is not a denial of service request. This is just someone who doesn't know that you can actually download a copy of the database.
I believe that's always what these are. Even though it says I put in the API response when I rate limit them. The response.
You can download everything.
Yes, with a link to it. Oh, with a link to the download. And they just keep going. They just keep going.
Oh, so, man. Anyway. Now, what do you think that they're doing this for? I mean, first of all, if anyone's doing this, I presume most of them are trying to get email addresses. That seems to be the main. I love the people who try it through info@podcastindex.org. Hey, you know, I'm experimenting with something. It's funny, I can't get the email addresses. I'm just a little guy over here, just doing a little thing on my Raspberry Pi. You know, I'd love.
I noticed the email addresses are missing from the responses.
Am I doing it wrong?
The email address is like joe@podcastmarketing.com or something. You know?
Yeah, that's funny. No,
I have mitigations in place, which I do not want to speak of. I do not want to give our adversaries this classified information.
Yes, highly classified. Oh man, yeah. That's too funny. Well, I'm sorry you had to go through that, but it is what it is. But people, please, we should put it somewhere on the website. Hey, don't.
Yeah.
Put it right at the top. If you want to use our API to scrape, just download it. Here you go. And by the way, send us a donation. Juice pouch. I'm digging that. That's Dreb Scott's word. I'm digging that. His kids aren't allowed to say douchebag at home, so they use a juice pouch, which I think is a nice PG version.
Well, when my son was little, he was like, I don't know, 4 or 5, something like that. He said, something happened. He said, "Oh my God!" And Melissa was like, "Don't, Grant, don't take God's name in vain. Don't do that." He was like, "Can I say, oh my mouse?" And she was like, "Yeah, okay, sure." He's like, "Cool." He starts saying that for
for years.
We just looked at each other like, okay, that's a weird one. Whatever.
Well, it was a rough, actually, kind of a rough week for servers for us. The podcast index node.
Yeah, channel apocalypse is what this was.
Well, yeah, I'm calling it the Noster zap crash.
Okay.
So I noticed I'm not even sure exactly what I noticed. No, I noticed channels went down, which is not a crazy thing because the Lightning Network just seems to do this from time to time. And no, I got a post or an email. Hey, man, what did I do wrong? Why'd you close the channel on me? How can I improve my behavior? I'm like, what are you talking about? People, when a Lightning node closes and it has forced close, which I don't think I've ever forced closed a channel ever. Well, and, you know, but you get the message forced close, and I get forced close. We both get it on each end, and people take offense to that. Like, hey, man, what'd you do?
It's an aggressive name, force close.
Yeah, you're right. It is kind of aggressive. And when you do a force close, then the predetermined close amount comes into action. So there's a timeout, which also can be. It can be a week in some cases. Usually it's a day or a couple of days. I try to set it reasonably low. But this was at the same time that the Bitcoin transaction fees were in the high teens and low 20s because of this nominals, with this ordinals mining business. You know, people like, oh, I'm going to encode something into the blockchain on this sat. Yeah, and so the blocks are supposed to be about one meg in size, and they seem to be encroaching two quite regularly. But the next block over will be 300, 500 megabytes. So, so the transaction fees are just, by the way, my two little miners here at home, I'm doing $2 a day. I'm rocking and rolling here. I'm printing money.
I bet you. Yeah. I looked into this a little bit. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the ordinals thing.
Well, let me get through the zap crash first.
All right.
So now luckily we host this node at Voltage, and I love and we've had it there from day one. And Graham is the man who does not sleep. It doesn't matter what time I ping him. It could be, 3 in the morning, 9 a.m., 11 at night. He's always there. Always.
And I don't understand how he does this.
Me neither. And this is in the morning, and I see like there's 40 channels closed. I'm like, oh, what is going on? So, just to try and get into the node with something like ThunderHub is a joke at this point. I mean, ThunderHub just crashes. We have so many transactions. We had a 16 gigabyte size database. So I say to Graham, hey, Graham, man, I got a whole bunch of forced closures. I didn't do anything. And so we're looking at it together. And he says, He says, well, why don't we just restart it just for good measure? And let me see what comes back up. This thing, after an hour, it doesn't come back up. So now every sysadmin knows the trickle of sweat down your butt crack at this point. And it's just like, oh, man. And it was a, what day was it? Was it maybe a Monday?
Sunday? No, it wasn't Sunday.
No, it was a Monday because I knew, and I noticed it too. My Podfather Umbral node went down, which is not irregular, but okay. But also my other node, which I usually use to as a secure backup, so everything transpires.
My Umbral got stuck here at home too, and I had to reboot.
Yeah, okay, exactly. So this was a little uncommon behavior that the nodes were literally trashed. So then Graham's like, all right, well, hold on a second. He's like, let me make a backup on my end. Now my brow is like wet. I'm like, oh man.
He's like, oh, I didn't say the B word. Yeah. Come on, man.
Because we know how fragile all this stuff really can be. And ultimately, I think Graham can do a lot on his end. But like, if we lose the password, we're screwed. I mean, there's no way you're not bringing that thing back up. He has no access to that. Right. And then we go into compacting mode. And it's three now, and that's midnight, and I give up. And it's been going for 3 hours now. And so this node has been down almost all day. And I'm not having a good time. And so it comes back up in the middle of the night. Of course, not functional because at 3 a.m. I had to unlock the node, which I couldn't do because I was asleep. I had to go to sleep. And I just didn't hear that. I did have my phone on, but I didn't hear the ping from Graham. So like 6 a.m., I unlocked the node. It's coming back out. Great. The database, he shrunk. We've compacted it from 16 gigabytes to 8. By the way, how sexy is this tech talk coming out of my mouth, huh? Come on. Come on.
Yeah, so, I'm going to go back and listen later.
So we're like, okay, trying to figure out what's going on. And Graham says, wow, there's like over 150 channel closes last night or yesterday across the Lightning Network. And we start investigating. So what's going on? Well, turns out that Damus, the Jack Dorsey endorsed, Jack and Dorsey Noster app, released this Zap functionality, which I'm a little confused if it's LN Pay, if it's LN URL payment system, or if it's Keysend. I'm not quite sure, but I know what happened is we have typically about 100 plus channels open to a lot of smaller nodes, which we love doing. We love providing the liquidity, which is everything that comes into the index node, is turned around and is used for liquidity to anybody who needs it, basically.
Yeah, we've had as many as like 145 channels open.
Pretty before. Big. Yeah, it's been very. Yeah. Now that, well, that definitely got cleaned out with that. So here's what happened. Because I said, Graham, he says, I think this is related. And he starts digging in. So this was a beta release from Damus, the app. And one bad HTLC can really screw up the node. And as it turns out, we got a lot. There's a high correlation between people who are connected to Podcast Index with their node and who also use Noster.
Of course there is.
And so there were tons of zaps, as they're called, flowing, routing through our node. And at least one, but probably multiple HTLCs, the hash time locked, what is this?
Contract
that were either bogus, were corrupted somewhere. I mean, something went wrong and that crashed our node hard. And, I think actually, Sir Pate, I think in the Netherlands, let me see. He said, "Oh yeah, I had my Noster stuff hooked up. It was a lot of fun. why did you close my channel?" I said, "Well, I didn't close it. Kaspielen. There we go, Kaspielen.
No, okay.
Yeah. So he's like, "Oh yeah, he ran it last weekend. He had a Noster relay. Just a whole bunch of stuff running on it, routing through us." And I'm not saying it was his node specifically. I don't know, but it clearly was a Noster, this zap thing that totally screwed our node. So I've been very slow to reopen channels. I'm waiting for people to come on and say, "Hey, you closed my channel." I said, "No, I didn't." I'm happy to open it up, but please don't use it as your Noster recipient node because it's just crazy. And there are limitations. You know, there's limitations on stuff. And we had another. So one of the problems we had, which I found out as people were trying to send boostograms to Curry and the Keeper, which that, you know, like Comic Strip Blogger is one of them. And he was getting errors on my node, which at this point was reconnected to Podcast Index, and he was doing it from Fountain, and he was not getting through to me. And so I do some more digging. Turns out one of the channels that closed, which doesn't surprise me. I'm sure lots of people were using their Fountain address as the place to, you know, to zap to. I think, yes. Just think.
You know they would. I mean,
I would think so. Yeah. I would think so. So that channel got closed, and then whatever routing there was, it was so intermittent that, you know, on the day that we do our show every 14 days, on the day that we do the show, people were trying to boost from Fountain boostograms, and they were failing. And those are just the ones who noticed it. So huge cacophony, and then we started looking into it. Anyway, Oscar opened up a new channel to us, so that's good. It's just all fragile. It's really fragile, and it was nuts. And honestly, I don't think Noster is worth the trouble at this point because I have a couple apps with Noster. You know, it's like, oh, a relay went offline. I have 1,500 followers. Today I have 273. You know, it's like, oh, yesterday I had 300. You know, stuff doesn't come through. It's not prime time yet. It really isn't. If it ever will be in this use case of like a Twitter, I'm not so sure. You know, listening to what Alice Gates said, who, by the way, is 31. He's not. I thought he was younger. He's why do you think I'm a Zoomer? Well, aren't you 24 or something? No, man, I'm as old as your daughter. Oh, that makes me feel good. Thanks. Feel much better now.
So. No, I think that I don't really understand the use case either. I mean, Noster, for that, you implement it. I can envision it, certain things it being good for, but like we have Mastodon and ActivityPub and these open. I don't understand why this is really a thing. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to get too far into it.
Yeah, no, we're asking for a lot of hate, so I'm not really interested in a lot of hate. I mean, I'm on it. You know, I'm along for the ride. I'm interested. I'm trying to get it to figure it out, and the experience is very all over the map. You know, unless you're on Damus, which I'm sure has their own relay, and you know, but that's kind of a closed system. If you're out on the edge, you're screwed.
Well, Sir Spencer said, if an HTLC gets stuck and expires, all the channels along that route will close.
There you go.
It's an automatic process.
Oh yeah, that's right. You're right. That's exactly what Graham said. If it expires and everything along the route, that's right. That's right.
I mean, on the ordinals thing though.
Well, before I get to that, one last bit of data. I asked Graham, is there a limitation to how many key send transactions you can do at one time? I say, is there a limitation, a server limitation, or is there a, and it turns out per Lightning channel, there's a limitation of 428 in-flight HTLCs at a time. That's the protocol limit per channel. It's unlikely we hit that. Unlikely we will hit that. But it's, I mean, it could easily happen from a channel like Fountain.
If you have 428 Fountain users all sending a key send at the same time, yeah,
it could happen. It could happen
for sure. And that tells me that for the big channels like Fountain or LNPay, or
we should have multiple
Albie. We should have multiple channels.
Multiple channels, exactly. All right, ordinals. Yeah, ordinals.
Yeah. So I kind of want to know your general thoughts, but to me, this idea of using the SegWit as sort of this freaky sidechain thing.
I don't think it's a sidechain thing.
It's the way that I read about it being described, how it was working. It used that term in quotes, but I mean, it is sort of you're stuffing that transaction into a place that's, is really, I mean, by protocol design, it could get, you know, it's fine, but like you end up with, so what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to end up with blockchains that are gigantic that we then go back and purge all this stuff out of.
No, the way I understand it, and I'm probably getting this wrong. I thought it's more like pneumastics where, you know, oh, this is a very rare Satoshi. It's the 33rd Satoshi in the block or something like that. And you can mark that and then you can say, all right, or you can claim it, or you can tag it somehow. You can put a URL in there, which of course is why that, you know, you have to pay for that, the more data that goes in. Right. And then you have, you know, just like NFTs, you know, there's some other not on the blockchain thing that has a frog picture or something that relates to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, I think it's just, and I think it seems to be shaking out a little bit that, you know, all of these shit coins are literally shitting the bed. They're, you know, SEC's after them. Everything's closing down. It's, you know, there's a lot of things happening with alternative blockchain related coins. And it seems like, you know, oh, let's do this on the Bitcoin blockchain, which from what I understand, Taproot actually enabled.
It did. That's how I understand it as well. But you know the way that it was described, and I found a pretty good article where it just goes straight through it, and I mean it's not a white paper, it was just a description, but I mean it read to me as if, oh, don't worry about this block size, these block size increases, because this is all just purgeable data anyway for any, for people who are not interested in this specific transaction. And, and like, you can just, you know, it's, you don't need to retain this because it's just part of this, you know, extra space that, that this thing is taking advantage of.
You can purge that out of the actual, the transaction remains in your database, but you can purge out the other stuff that's been jammed in there.
Yeah, that was my understanding of it. But it's like you mark a UTXO, and then you have this SegWit space that is being stuffed with this inscription.
Kind of like our TLVs in a way.
I think so. Yeah, but much more. Yeah, but at the base layer and a whole lot bigger. I don't know. I feel like Roy will have all the answers to this.
I like seeing that. Really, it's like, okay, the Bitcoin just goes, okay, whatever, do that, and then it's basically an attack. The way I see it, I think it's an attack, and Bitcoin goes, okay, it'll cost you more. There you go, you pay. Now, it sucked at the minute this happened for us because closures, as channels didn't close because there wasn't enough predetermined fee.
And it's expensive, yeah.
It gets expensive, the open channels. But that, I've seen that even out quite a bit over the last couple of days. But wow, you know, holy crap. It's amazing to watch what's going on. We live in very interesting times, Dave Jones.
Well, lots of things, I think it's worth saying this. I mean, lots of things, the fragility that you see in a lot of these things, there's in Lightning and this sort of, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of technology that is easily this fragile.
Oh yeah.
But you just don't see it because it's stuffed in a data center somewhere. Like, this is all just playing out in public. But I mean, people at a sysadmin level deal with this sorts of
thing
all the time, where you're like, you're trying to put a new technology to use and it's got some real funky stuff with it that has to be worked out over time. I mean, it's just that it probably looks more scary than it really is.
Oh yeah.
On the outside, you know.
What the one thing I enjoy about the Noster experience, though, is that people have, and of course we know how this works, people have substituted likes for zaps. So if someone likes what you wrote, then all of a sudden you get 1,000 sats from them. I've gotten 10,000 from people before. And that is kind of really broken because, I don't know, it's my setup, I guess. I don't know who's sending it. It doesn't show up in Albie who sent it. Because that's the address I use for that. But it's kind of fun to see people parting with value in that way. But at the same time, you know, they'll post, donations don't work. Here, have 1,000 sats. Okay, whatever.
It's, my thinking on the Bitcoin space of all this from the beginning has been, like, anything that we can do, I say we loosely, I just mean in general, anything that people can do to make people part with their coin and spend it instead of just this sort of, like, I don't know, toxic HODL thing where, I mean, yeah, we, I mean, sure, hold on to your assets. I'm not saying that, but I mean, like, the problem with Bitcoin for a long time, with the culture of Bitcoin, has been people don't spend the money. And so you're sort of like feeding Gresham's law by not doing anything. And so, like, if we can get people through boostergrams or, you know, zaps or whatever, I mean, as long as the thing that we're doing is to get people to actually transact with this stuff so that the mechanism of price discovery and it can form a market. The problem with Bitcoin is it's not financialized. Like, there's a lot of things that you wish you could do with Bitcoin. There's just no way to do it. There's no financial instrument or facility to do things with it. And so, like, in order to make that happen, step one, like, the first step you have to take is to get people comfortable with actually spending it. And so I think that any of that stuff, ultimately, maybe the protocol won't work out or shake out, you know, the way people hoped. But as long as it's more of a mind game to me, it's about getting people to actually be okay and get used to spending the stuff.
Well, the way I see it, you're soaking in it, Madge, because podcasting 2.0. I mean, what's happening is people are receiving, they're earning in Satoshis, they're respending it on other podcasts. I use, I've connected my Albie wallet to Podverse, which is great because I have oh man, I might have 2 million sats in there now. And that's really just from, you know, bits and pieces coming in, because that's a 1% split on the shows I do. I've had it for a while. But, you know, I used that the other day to pay for some holy cow beef. You know, they're coming through town. They're going to Austin. And Ann always sends me an email. She says, hey, you know, we're coming through. Anything you want? You know, I ordered some breakfast sausages and some chicken thighs, which they have. And I can't remember all this. Some tallow. Anyway, it was like $96. And she just sends me, she knows me, so she just sends me a QR code through Ibex, which still is not doing KeySend. And, you know, it's just like copy, paste, boom, done. You know, and it felt good. And it was from my earnings, from earnings that I got into my wallet. And so it really is happening. And I agree, whether you do it, the podcasting 2.0 is a great place to transact. It's a great place for people to get comfortable with it. When you buy it, you know, the hodler, sure, they buy it however they're buying it from an exchange. And I can understand why, you know, that culture is still there. But things like Podcasting 2.0, things like the Beef Initiative and Noster are changing that culture. And I think it's a very positive development.
Well, a real market, a real currency has holders, has savers and spenders.
Correct.
It can't just be one or the other.
I heard James Cridlin is taking all the sats I've boosted the Pod News weekly review with, and he's going to buy drinks for everybody at Podcast Movement.
Oh.
It would be better if he was paying for those drinks with Satoshis.
That would be. I wonder if they have those Clover point of sale terminals. That might work.
Yeah, we can push.
You know,
Venmo. No, to what is it? To Cash App.
Strike.
Yeah, Strike. There you go.
Yeah, they're doing that partnership thing. That would be cool.
And then he said,
"You could go boom right, you know, boom right in there."
Which I was okay with, but he's like, "And we'll have to invite British people." I'm like, "No, I didn't donate for Brits. No, that's no good.
We fought a war for that."
So before we bring in our fellow board member for the board meeting today, who's been waiting in the wings very patiently, and I have a hard out, by the way. I got a hard out. I love saying that. Hey, got a hard out at 3 o'clock. I have an oral emergency procedure taking place today. If you can hear me slissing at all, I don't know if that's audible.
A little bit. It's not terrible.
It happens when I get more tired. It's worse. Anyway, yeah. There's some. It'll only be sore for 1 or 2 days. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's like, you know, my first wife had some plastic surgery done several times, and
I like that phraseology. She has some plastic surgery done several times.
I paid for that, Miss Potato Head. So anyway, and it was always the same. There'll be some bruising for a couple of days. Lie.
Weeks.
Yeah, exactly. So our guest will be in a moment, our fellow board member. I just wanted to react, respond to all of the negative Spotify articles that have been out there. Mm-hmm. I think two big ones really that the people are talking about, and it's, you know, it's about the bets not paying off and, you know, all this stuff. So I wanted to say that, you know, when McKinsey came to called me to interview me for the research they were doing for Spotify's podcast strategy, I said you cannot monetize the network. Now, I don't know what McKinsey did. They probably didn't put that in the final product. It took me 10 years and $65 million to realize that it doesn't work. And it's truly because of the decentralized nature. Thank you. Thank God for RSS. Thank you all to all the hosting companies, big and small alike, who are still there. Most of them still there. It's very impressive. This is the main reason. And I think the protection you and I built in initially as our mission was ability for independent developers to develop on a database that that didn't cost anything, that they had influence on by being a part of the community, and for them being able to participate in the money flow. Those two things were set up from the get-go, specifically with value for value, so that the developers and other parties, anyone who is doing something, can participate in the value block splits. So I do not think it'll be very easy for Spotify. They have an activist investor now in the company. This is some bullshit if you have a company. I ran a public company. We took up my own company public. If you get an activist investor, your life is hell. The board meetings suck. It's and depending on the level of investment they've made. And I think this was even a little bit, you know, so Spotify didn't really go, I mean, they're a public company, but they didn't do an IPO in a traditional way. I think we talked about that, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't raise billions of dollars. No, they got all the early investors out on their payday, which was mainly record companies, et cetera, and some banks with hundreds of millions of dollars by going public. So then they could monetize their very early investment. So they've raised money, but they didn't raise money with the IPO. And so clearly they have to raise some new money. And now comes the really smart money, and that's an activist investor. And the activist investor, I think that the original shareholders will dilute. They're not just buying shares on the open market. I think they're buying shares from existing holders inside.
Inside shares.
Yeah, or it could be shares that were set aside for employees. A lot of different ways to do it. But that's real money that they can convert into cash that they can spend. And I just wanted to say in this forum, this is a tremendous opportunity for Spotify. Because they can blow the activist investors away by showing the world that the way to go is not in the way that everyone else is trying, but be completely open, join the open system, build your app to be a better podcast app. Let's start with that. It's an okay app. And you have a great audience, you know, so it works. It's an okay app. That's like we were just on podcast.com. That's Audible. All right. So, you know, they mesh it in with their audiobooks, but really invest in building a great app. And you can kick everyone's ass at your level, Apple, Google, or whatever Google's doing, Amazon, anything else, by showing, oh, look what we have. We've enabled all, there's hundreds of thousands of feeds that have 2.0 namespace, podcast namespace content that no one else is surfacing. You can do it. You could even do lit. You have the infrastructure for that. If you really wanted to, I would advise against it, but you could even reboot the albatross known as Anchor. And we'd be so happy to have you on board. We really would. It would lift everybody. It would lift all of podcasting. Now, I know that this will probably fall on deaf ears, but I just wanted to say this is the opportunity. This is a tremendous opportunity for Spotify. And if they just start to tamp down, I went through this. It's a 10-year process of shutting everything down. It's sad. The employees become sad. You know, the stock goes. It's just, it's a sad situation. Sad, sad situation. The Elton John came out. And go open, go open, go big. People will love you for it, and you will create a better product, and you can participate in massive flow. And Joe Rogan will be a part of that too. I know he would love to do it. Go open. Stop the insanity.
I can imagine that obviously never been in that position, but I can imagine having an activist investor is just like, you just wake up every morning immediately in self-defense mode, and you're just trying to keep your head above water, trying to not make, you know. And then, I agree. It's just a great, at this moment in the market, Todd the other day said something on one of his shows where he was like, you know, hey, with the way that podcasting is now, if you want to have a podcast and get your show out there and make some waves, now's a great time just because everything's a little bit depressed. So, I mean, and it's probably the same thing with Spotify. This is such a tremendous, like this right now with Google sort of bowing out of the podcast space and all this kind of stuff. Like, it is a great time to go and just sort of like really shake that, because they made all these investments, but the app didn't change very much. And so they, on the app side of things, they haven't pushed any real potential. Like, they haven't shaken any of that up. Like, if they really changed the app and embraced, like, on Buzzcast, I was hearing Kevin Finn talking about the person tag and how Apple has stopped taking submissions for those images, like host images. Used to, you would email it to them and they would put it in there, and then the host would picture would show up, and I'd have all this connectivity and that kind of thing. It's a totally proprietary thing to them. And then, you know, now we have the person tag.
Exactly.
So now it's like this open system. He's like, well, you know, they're having this big debate. Well, you know, Apple would never do that because they want to control, you know, everything, which I disagree with. I think they would do it.
What?
But you know, a company like Spotify, they could come in and they could immediately just boom, boom, boom. They just start throwing features out left and right and just really take the market.
You remember that around the same time, how was our buddy over there at Apple who left? See, I've already forgotten his name. He's gone.
Walked out of your life.
Yes, he did. You know, he said, you know, we had a call. We talked about it on the show. We had a call scheduled. And he said, yeah, I want to talk about what we're doing. I want to hear about, you know, because he had even said, yeah, maybe come talk to the team about 2.0, which never materialized. I think COVID came in there too, just to be fair. And I said the same thing. You know, do this. This is how you will be legendary. Oh, we're going to do subscriptions. Okay, fine. And that's because they have an internal mechanism that is called accounting. And they have to show that all the work they're putting into it results in something. And it's okay what they did, but you know, now you know you're uploading stuff to Apple itself, so they're really creating their own little ecosystem, which is fine.
James Boggs.
Boggs, exactly. Sorry, James. Now, what's even cooler about this, and we really got to bring our guest in. What's even cooler about this is that when I look at what Wavelake is doing, who now have over 100 songs placed into the podcast index with value blocks. And I see what our very own Stephen B is doing, musicsideproject.com.
Mm-hmm.
Spotify can this finally, they can start making some money and making musicians and artists and music owners, not the people who've signed deals with ASCAP BMI, the music that is owned by the creators can start making some actual money. They will be the darlings of the business. And they're now hosting companies who are getting into this. And Dystopia, I think, is the one. Wavelake many others could basically flip a switch and make this happen. And I'm looking at this and it's cool. I am, and there's a lot more to be done, obviously. But I'm just looking at what's out there already, and it's, you know, and there's music that is playable, it's boostable, you have immediate feedback. All of the 2.0 namespace, the podcast namespace features can be used. Bring back the liner notes, people. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that can be done in phenomenal ways. It's ready made for it. And Spotify could be, I mean, they would go from pretty much hated by the music community, if I'm honest about it, if they're honest about it, really, to endeared. And you know what? Then instead of waking up and thinking, oh, what is that activist investor doing? What back channel calls am I going to get? Who else are they talking to that's on the board? I got to call everybody, keep my eye on who's doing what, who's saying what. Instead of that life, wake up to glory.
Wake up to glory.
That's my plea. There you go. I've said what I have to say.
You've pled. You've pled.
I have. Oh, all right. Let's bring in our guest. He is, funny enough, he worked at Spotify, but now he's out there doing stuff for himself. One of the things is Steno. First, we got to ask how he pronounced it. I would say Steno.fm. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a big Podcasting 2.0 board welcome to Nathan Gathright.
Hey there.
Hey, Nathan.
How's it going? Yes, and it is Steno. Like stenography or
somehow
stenographer.
You know, when I hear this last name, Gathright, I expect a Brit somehow. I'm not quite sure why. Is that
weird? I'm Texan born.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, and then I also lived in Belgium for a couple of years and then back to Texas. And now I'm in Chicago.
Really? What were you doing in Belgium?
My dad was working out there when I was in high school and just picked up the family, moved over there for 2 years for my last 2 years of high school, and then came back to the U.S. for university.
Well, because that was kind of my story. My parents had to work in the Netherlands. They picked us up. I was 7. How old were you when you were in Belgium?
16 to 18.
Okay, so how long have they been in the CIA? Your parents? So you went to the international school?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Antwerp? Where were you? Antwerp or Brussels?
No, I was down in Waterloo.
Oh, okay. Wow. So you were speaking more French than anything there, I guess.
Was, yeah. Yeah.
With the Walloons. Yeah, we don't like them.
So is Belgium's Dutch, French, and isn't there a third?
An alien. Mars.
An alien.
Yeah. So you have the Flemish and the Walloons, and that's like family feuds from centuries ago. I mean, that's just crazy. They do not like each other.
The Hatfields and the McCoys pretty much of Europe.
Yeah, pretty much.
I was told if you're in the, you know, the French speaking part of the country, take a shot at speaking French, even if you're going to mess it up.
For sure.
If you're in the Flemish speaking part of the country, just start with English. You'll start on a better foot with them.
Safer. Exactly. Much safer. Oh, well, we're glad you came out alive, my friend. Uh-huh. So, when did you leave Spotify?
Just with this recent round of layoffs.
You were asked to leave. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, all right. Well, I hope you would endorse my concept for them.
Yeah, I think I would love to see more open stuff coming out of all the corners of the podcasting.
Yeah. And you've really embraced this with your project, Steno.fm. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so Steno FM sort of was inspired by the projects that sort of were coming, you know, before the namespace came around, like Descript, starting with, you know, transcript-based editing and other sort of transcript-based search tools. But obviously the challenges of transcribing everybody else's shows legally and monetarily were something that I knew was never really going to be viable. So when the transcript tag came around, I got real excited to revive some of my older designs. I'm a product designer by trade, so I'm always thinking about the UX challenge.
All the stuff you do looks great. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, all the stuff you do looks great.
So the visual challenge of like I'd want to make a better experience than just the equivalent of like closed captions. I want to make it, you know, searchable, readable, all of that. So, you know, for shows that provide a well-formatted SRT file, VTT file, JSON file, whatever, I do the best that I can to give it, you know, a good formatting and a good listening experience alongside that.
So this is really a listening and a podcast experience is what Steno is? Okay. All right. By the way, have you seen the new Hindenburg Pro 2 thing?
No, not yet.
Because let me just give you a quick review. Holy crap, why'd you guys change the interface? Why'd you change the colors? You freak me out. I hate that.
This is your review?
This is my review. And and there's one other part of my review. Why, if I buy this, do I have a timer that says you have 10 hours of transcript time? It's doing the processing on my machine, but yet somehow I have to buy hours? I mean, it's very it may not be that way. But that was a real turnoff just seeing that. It's like, what? I mean, it's still processing no agenda.
So I know you've been building Steno for a while, obviously, but it's sort of been live. I mean, was this today? Was this sort of like a soft launch? I mean, what would you call this?
Yeah. So today I basically just pushed a new homepage and a new trending page. Trending page is actually only discoverable if you like hit the little menu on the top left-hand corner, but it's a OP3 powered page with trending episodes that have a podcast and have have transcripts and have the OP3 prefix. So if you're supporting both of those things,
hey, I'm trending.
On that little trending page.
I'm trending. Yeah. Mask in a bottle, no agenda, trending.
Am I trending or is it just you? No, I'm trending too. I'm a little way down the page. I'm a little bit down the page.
Oh yeah. You're trending.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm trending.
We're trending. Well,
what is when I was looking at this the other day, it says powered by OP3 and I'm assuming that means that, let me ask you some questions. So I'm assuming that that means that OP3 is where you're getting the sort of pop kind of, lack of a better term, popularity data or mm-hmm. downloads.
Like, yeah.
So that's how you get your ranking type of thing.
Yeah. Spurlock right? made a little custom endpoint for me. That Sweet. Is specifically, you know, filtering well, down I want to just
it. Why do you just get it? I want it too.
Ask and you shall receive.
Yeah. Okay. And then, so does that mean that you have to be only, if your show is not using the OP3 prefix, you won't show up in Steno?
You won't show up in the trending page. But the homepage, right. You can search literally any show. My search box pulls from both the Podcast Index API and the Apple API.
Okay, so in the main discovery page, the popular shows with transcripts, how are you determining if they're popular? What's your factors there?
This is just manual. This is in that case, that's okay. Just a manually curated page for now. If Steno doesn't really have any sort of usage, yeah.
Okay, yeah. The If Books Could Kill podcast is a great podcast. I was listening to that the other day. Yeah. So you're not using any other algorithm. You're just kind of hand curating that list.
Yeah, for now.
Okay. Do you have any, like, are you going to change that? Are you going to make it some sort of automated thing?
Yeah, if Steno gets enough usage to pull from my own data, then I can switch to that. But for now, it was just looking at top ranking charts and crawling feeds, trying to see what has transcript tags. I was talking with Dan Meisner, and he said, you know, I think familiar cover art would do a lot for Steno. So the more popular the show in the general public, the more curious somebody will be and more engaged they will to poke around the app and give it a shot. So tried to find the most recognizable shows I could and put it on this page.
Here's something interesting, and it's probably a bug. It's a bug, but it may be a bug on my side, which is actually really good because I think I know what's happening. So I search for Curry and the Keeper, which is a show I do with my wife, Curry and the Keeper. And so you have three results here, Apple Podcasts, Podcast Index. What is RSS? It doesn't show up there, but what is RSS?
If you just want to put in an RSS feed.
Oh, okay.
Precisely.
So Podcast Index, it shows up. I click on Podcast Index. It says Curry and the Keeper, Tina and Adam Curry. I click on it, and it gives me No Agenda. And I believe that is because, for some reason that we're still working on, the podcast ID is the same in Curry and the Keeper as it is in No Agenda.
Oh, the GUID.
The GUID. Yep. Yeah, the GUID. So this is searching based on GUID, which is cool, actually.
Yeah, so all the show pages are GUID results. So steno.fm/show/GUID will take you, you know, and at that point, I am then hitting the index to look up that GUID and return
excellent.
The results.
Oh, it's my problem, I know, but it's excellent you're doing that on GUID. I love that.
Yeah.
Excellent. Hey, you little techno man, you.
No, I'm an A+ student. I try to check off as many of the boxes on the namespace that I could in short order.
Well, this is great for a lot of reasons. Because so to veer off for a second, which is something we never do, but to veer for a second, like so, Todd had this comment the other day on his show where he said. Let's see. I wrote a note. And he said he hoped that we haven't run out of ideas with podcasting 2.0.
Oh,
like
goodness,
like we're you know, like what comes next, sort of thing. And I just wanted. It felt like a good time to talk about that because I mean, there's tons of ideas. I mean, like playlists, open subscriptions, channels, bonus items, shared sound bites. I'm just looking down the list.
Oh, there's
sponsor
so
tag,
much.
Events,
so
states.
Much.
Guest, you know, has guests, remote item. Like, I mean, an initial cursory glance. So, but the thing, I think they were talking about, they felt like there's a general slowdown. That is on purpose. I mean, that is, and I think I've talked about this before. I don't run the namespace. I mean, it's not my project. I mean, it belongs to the community, but I do, and I'm conscious of the fact that I do have the ability to sort of set the speed of things and the tone because I'm the one that mostly does the pull request, you know, approvals and things like that. And so it was a very conscious decision on my part to slow down the pace of things a little bit because we outran everybody with 100 different tags, and people had only implemented like three. And so it didn't make any sense to just keep going and going and going. And the reason is because, and I'm bringing this back around, I swear, the reason that this is important is because of things like GUID. So we're going to do one of the things that we've got in the pipe that's just been sitting there, dormant, channels, podcast channels. Podcast channels is going to depend on GUID. This is right. The same thing, the same mishmash we ended up with Lit. Lit depends on Podping. So Podping had to be fully formed, before Lit could be fully formed. So there's a lot of things. GUID is actually a really important piece of the overall puzzle going forward, because this idea that we need to take, URLs are impermanent. People move their shows all the time. It is not an uncommon thing for this to happen. People move from host to host. They go to self-host and they go back, blah, blah, blah. They get bought. So the idea that your URL is your universal identifier really just doesn't work. So the idea of the right. podcast GUID, that can be your actual permanent ID and your show and the show result, the GUID resolves to the URL. That is something that is critical for a lot of things that come downstream. So the fact that you're doing this, Nathan, is
phenomenal.
Beautiful.
Phenomenal. Yes, beautiful. I love that. And by the way, I don't know what this is. Have you ever heard of the ISO bot in the chat room?
No.
Literally someone's typing in, no, I'm an A+ student. And then it has a link to an MP3.
And you?
No, I'm an A+ student. I try to check off as many of
what
the
heck? What this is some space age stuff going on here.
What is this?
People are some bot that can do ISOs in real time? All right, I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm going nuts. We got GUIDs being used. We got ISO bots. I feel like I'm back in the Stone Age.
But I think this may be the first app that uses GUID as the main index.
Let's see who else is out there. I think maybe. I think I know Fountain URLs are just using the podcast index ID, mm-hmm. and a couple other people, Podverse and Curiocaster and Fountain are all using the podcast index ID, but. The GUID sort of came probably after they got all that set up.
Well, it makes me think that I need to sort of prioritize the, an easier way to resolve it, to resolve these two, this an open way, rather than forcing everybody to have a key. Cause that would probably be better. I mean, there's just some things that probably make more sense being outside of the API, but you're well qualified to do this. I mean, if people don't know your background, you had an app that got bought by Podsites. Is that right?
Yeah. And that's how I ended up at Spotify. I was two acquisitions deep in selling pod.link to Podsites, and then Podsites was acquired by Spotify, and I went along for the ride both of those times. But pod.link was trying to sort of solve that problem of everybody only really wanting to promote one link for their podcast, not fill a tweet with, five different apps. And
right.
Pocket Cast was my app of choice, which had, around 1% market share. It was never going to be anybody's. It was always going to get cut out of the tweet if they're going to link to even more than one podcast app. Right. So I was just sort of trying to address that problem where people say, find us wherever you download podcasts. And I, remember reading somebody saying that find us wherever you download podcasts is, it's a green flag. It's a sign of that open ecosystem, but it does make it harder for the podcaster to motivate a, slightly curious listener to go to the trouble of, how did they spell that long show name or whatever? So pod.link was sort of trying to be that link in bio landing page solution that automatically linked to Apple and Spotify and Google and Overcast and all of them, because I just looked at the deterministic nature of how all of them created their URLs and auto-generated pages based on that. So the podcaster didn't even have to go and set it up. A listener could go promote their favorite show by finding the Podlink page for it and, sharing it with friends.
Yeah. So what do you have any immediate, like, what's your immediate roadmap? Like, so you're Steno's like it's launched now. What do you have like a short term set of features that you think are sort of imminent that you're going to look at putting in?
Yeah. So right now, looking at your own sort of stats package, we're at 24,000 podcasts with transcripts, nearly 600,000 episodes with transcripts. That still is only 0.6% of all podcasts in the index. So I really want to see what I can do to advocate for more use of the transcript tag and you know, richer use of the transcript tag. A number of the hosts right now are really sort of going to like a lowest common denominator and supporting just TXT transcripts. I think on a recent episode, y'all just ran into this with RSS.com. There is no file upload. You can't upload an SRT. You can only paste something in.
Yeah, it's coming.
Yeah. But, you know, Captivate and Transistor, some of them are, you know, are not really thinking about transcripts as like a multi-format thing in the RSS feed. They're sort of thinking about, well, how does it look on the landing page for this episode on our own site more than, you know, what can app, you know, making sure that it's a properly formatted file for other apps to do something interesting with.
I'm kind of digging the design choice you made here on the transcripts where, although my transcript is not well formatted, it's just one big block of text, but as you play the podcast, it's bopping down line by line, highlighting it in kind of a yellowish orange. And then if you just scroll down and you click on something, the audio jumps to that. That's nice, man. That's really,
yeah.
And that's exactly something you could put on a podcast page.
Yeah, no, I would love to see a whole bunch of hosts copy this and add it to their own, you know, all their own websites for their own podcasts. So, give that experience to everybody else.
What's the end goal here, Nathan? You're obviously cruising on your Spotify millions. So what are you going to do with this?
I don't know. I don't think I have, you know, delusions that it's going to be a competitive podcast app. I haven't invested in making user accounts or, you know, a mobile app or anything like that. So, we'll see. It's mostly trying to advocate for the transcript, like further adoption of the transcript tag and think about, beyond the transcript tag, how can we, you know, bring transcripts to more podcasts, even if that the transcript tag is not available to them? So I've been, you know, having discussions with people trying to figure out if shows that have dynamic ad insertion can ever adopt transcripts in a meaningful way. Mm-hmm. If their transcripts don't have timestamps, then they might as well just link to it in the description and not bother with the transcript tag. As you know, there's no point in, you know, integrating it into the player if it's equivalent to opening up a web view anyway. If it does have timestamps, then, you know, all their dynamic injection tech gets in the way because then
it
you
does.
Can't ever, except, ever guarantee.
Except Buzzsprout. Buzzsprout figured that out. They figured out how
Buzzsprout
to do that.
Buzzsprout really wants you to, their what Buzzsprout advocates for is the podcast app, when it downloads the episode, downloads the transcript at that point and not when the listener goes to listen to it a second time. So if the listener goes to listen to it 2 weeks later,
then you're
and their dynamic dynamic block has changed in some way, upsetting the timestamps, the transcript URL will have changed at that point. So they really want you to just cache the transcript at time of download.
I tried out this Podium page. Have you heard of this Podium page?
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is... that they also have an app, I think, and
yeah, it's Fathom.
Yeah, it seems like they're a company that is using podcasting to display their incredible artificial intelligence prowess. But I did throw a podcast into the system and saw it came back. So it does transcript, but it also does chapters. It makes an attempt at show notes. Not bad. I mean, not great.
I was very impressed with the show notes feature.
Yeah, as a starting point. And, you know, it has timestamps. And I mean, I would never use it. I mean, I love human intelligence. So, you know, our chapters, like I love Dreb Scott doing it. But even for Dreb, it might be a great way to just get a like a little idea of, okay, here's some things that I might look out for, because he basically just listens in real time and just, you know, taps it and says, okay, here's a chapter. But it wasn't horrible.
Yeah. Back to Dave's point about, like, you know, feature development, where's feature development going? I really want to see the podcast events tag enable more of a Wikipedia like experience, where if you want to improve the transcript, if you want to improve the chapters or suggest something, that listeners have a way to communicate that back to the podcaster, and that the host can mediate that if the host is managing all the webhooks or something like that, and say like, oh, hey, looks like, you know, you left a typo. There's podcasts I know that have their transcripts on GitHub, and I've totally gone in and, you know, done a pull request to fix some things that I saw.
You are an enormous asset to podcasting 2.0. This is fantastic.
I appreciate that.
No, I mean, I mean, you're just developing stuff that you think could be better and can be implemented and show and leading by example. I love it. Thank you so much. It's really, it's awesome. And I don't use that word lightly.
Do you have any sort of gut feeling as to what I've been a little just kind of baffled by how few podcast apps have put transcripts into the app. Like, it doesn't seem, I'm not going to say that it's trivial, because it requires work, but it's also not, it's not like groundbreakingly difficult to track an SRT file. I mean, I'm just a little interested in how, there's so many out there now. Like you said, I mean, there's 600,000 episodes with transcripts. It feels the content is there. I guess I would just see, I don't know. Do you have a feeling as to why people aren't doing more of this? Cause it's an accessibility thing. It just makes so much sense.
I think, even just in launching it today, I saw people like, oh, I checked out my favorite show and it didn't have transcripts. And there's not much I can say to them. Like, well, I you want me to run a Whisper server and create a bunch of, you know, copyright dubious transcripts that the podcaster yeah. didn't sign off on and approve? Is that what you're asking me to do here? And they're like, I guess not. And you're like, all right. So, so from the point of view of like delivering a good user experience to your listeners, if you're making a podcast app, I think a lot of people feel sort of in a bind that they can't promise transcripts for everything. And so they're left saying like, well, it's kind of enabled if you listen to this subset of shows, and it's the subset of shows that are not doing dynamic ad insertion. So it's not the shows in the top of the Apple charts. I was like crawling Apple's charts to see how many they had. I think five shows in Apple's top 250 have transcripts. And there's really? Actually probably that like few? Five, and there's five more that are using the transcript tag, but have basically just pasted in their description into a text file. There's a couple that are using it dubiously.
That's it. To me. Okay. So dynamic ad insertion is the way that it came down the pipe seems to be responsible for a lot of these sorts of things where, oh, we'd like to do it, but we can't figure out how to do it because there's all this dynamic ad insertion. And to me, this just seems like an imminently solvable problem. Like if we step, because we already talked to, I don't know if you were in on that conversation, Nathan, I think you may have been, where, you know, we sort of had this back and forth with some various people about how to make these timestamps line up in a good way, because you submit, the way it seems to be happening is the audio gets submitted to SoundStack or some third party ad insertion provider. And then there's slots that are marked in the feed, in the MP3. And then those slots go in to the MP3 from SoundStack, and then it gets delivered dynamically back when you download it. To me, they're just that those ad slots can come back in, as markers in the ID3 tag. They can come back in a download in headers in the download, where now you say, okay, well, I've got offsets now. If I just have a list of ad insertion points and their lengths, for the transcript, I can just go and I can just know what those offsets are or whatever. To me, this seems like a solvable problem to me. That's not technically challenging, but for some reason, it's just like, we're done with that. DAI works. I'm not going back there. It's annoying.
Yeah, definitely. My first stab at this problem was looking at how Marco Arment built Forecast, and in short order, MP3 chapters were in a lot more apps, including Apple Podcasts. And even I had Spurlock look at what was the total adoption of transcripts or of chapters. And when he first looked at it, it was something like, you know, 1.6% or something like that. So I was, you know, thinking, okay, there's all the hosts that haven't adopted support for the transcript tag yet. What if I put the transcript into the ID3 tags? So I started working on that. There's a ID3 marker called synchronized lyrics and text, which is perfect for putting, you know, timestamped text for really for like karaoke mode in music, but perfectly suitable for putting a whole transcript inside an MP3 file. Very small. It's just text. It's not like the people who put a 3000 by 3000 image inside the MP3 file. and was going down that route, but enough podcast hosts mess with the ID3 tags and throw away anything they don't immediately see as relevant that that idea sort of died on the vine. But I think something that like Dreb Scott is saying in the chat is it might be helpful if transcripts served other purposes as well, such as searchable content on a website too. I think really is transcripts are a means to an end. You have a job to be done that is not read the transcript. Your job to be done is recall a thing that I, you know, heard on something that I listened to this week, or, you know, bookmark something or make something, you know, share something more easily. They're always a means to an end, and they sort of need to be ubiquitous before you can start building the features on top of them.
Linking into that, something that I'm seeing a little bit more of, the machine learning AI people are showing up on my doorstep and saying, hey, can I get all your transcripts? And I say, oh yeah, here's this directory. It's on FTP server. You can, anything that's .srt is a transcript. And what I think that the what has not worked very successfully is apps using the search for the transcripts. And the main reason is chicken and the egg, as usual with the stuff we're doing. So to me, it seems like someone can build a service that searches transcripts, but does it with real machine learning type stuff. So you can say, I'm looking for something like this instead of, you know, or I want to hear when Curry said that. And it seems to me that that would be an incentive because the thing about podcasters, we know that they don't like spending money, but they also don't want to be left out of something. So if YouTube, I'm on YouTube. Oh, it's on, you know, AOL, you know, they're back with a floppy disk. I'm on the floppy disk. Doesn't matter. Podcasts want to be everywhere. And to have kind of what you're doing, honestly, like, okay, you don't have a transcript. Here's how you can get a transcript. One, bug your host, your hosting company. Two, you can hear some commercial services, including, you know, Otter or whatever, or even Hindenburg. Or you can use, what's the do-it-yourself package? I forget the name. Whisper, and someone build an actual resource around that. I think that would entice podcasters to do that, and not necessarily because it's, you know, the biggest problem of the transcripts for me in a way is I like getting the show out immediately, and the transcript usually goes up 2 hours later because it just takes that long to transcribe. But having a resource that could, I mean, and I think there's ways to make that. Have money flow, you know, or value for value blocks throw through that. There's a whole bunch of things that could be done, even advertising for all I care, if we had a place where that was actually being done. This everyone's got, I mean, I'm looking at you, comic strip blogger. I mean, there's people who are doing so much ML, AI, LMNOP. This is a great opportunity, and you already have quite a stack. And if people are searching for topics, and the only thing that can show up is podcasts that have transcripts, I think that would kick off people being interested in actually doing it.
Yeah, I definitely want to see the podcast events tag enable people to contribute back. Like, hey, I ran a Whisper transcript, you know, as soon as the episode downloaded, and, you know, here I'm sending it to your host. You can read over and approve it so that the podcaster is putting their stamp of approval on it before it, you know, goes out to your listeners.
That's a cool idea because then you have people that could begin. It's almost like, when you put somebody, but in an automated way, like you don't even have to ask permission.
You just do it
and then send an event. Exactly. It's like, oh, hey, I did a transcript.
It's like, Dreb has been, he's on his own dime. He's like, oh, I'm going back every single MoFax with Adam Curry episode. I'm running through a transcript. You know, it's like awesome. That. Yeah, except you're right. That needs to be an automated fashion, so it just kind of flows back the remote. What is that tag called?
The events tag.
Yeah. That spits back. My system somehow knows to reattach it or whatever. Click. It's now attached to that podcast. These are really good ideas. Hello, Spotify.
it just feels like I think people don't appreciate how difficult it is to do good search on
anything
on data like this. So what I mean is, like, you know, Google, you say, well, Google indexes the entire web. Yeah, but they have a clear signal, the PageRank, with signal that link, basically incoming links. That was a clear signal that of quality, that this thing rises to the top of the stack as you have incoming links. There's nothing like that in podcasting. You can't say, okay, this episode is great because there's so many what attached to it. The best you can do is say, well, there's a whole bunch of downloads. Well, guess what? Most people don't have access to that. The podcaster themselves have access to it.
Right.
And that's it. Nobody else knows that. So you're left with each independent app knows how many downloads are in or are happening for each one of those shows on their platform. Sometimes, like in the circumstance of Castomatic, Franco doesn't know because that's all happening on device. So you just have a whole lot of unknowns within. So what you're left with, really, as like I'm looking through Steno, and I'm going through these transcripts, you're left with just massive amounts of blob, just huge amount. And I'm talking about this from a searchability standpoint, but you're just huge masses of just words. So you really have to have something like an AI type approach in order to even make anything meaningful out of all of this stuff. I mean, because this would, you end up, I mean, if you're like the Brookings Institution, you want to be the Hans Blix of podcasting, then, I mean, you have to really, like, you know, you would have to do something like this, because otherwise you're not going to get a Google search of podcasts. It's just never, this is the problem with discoverability. You know, the problem with, you know, people want better discoverability in podcasts. It ain't happening. It's never going to be that way.
You know, here's an opportunity. I'm going to reach out to Sridhar Ramaswamy. He ran Google's search product, and he started Neeva, NEEVA.com, which is a search engine without ads I've been using for years, a couple of years now. And the minute ChatGPT became a thing, they already had, you know, the same parlor trick on their homepage, actually doing what ChatGPT does. Like, oh, you want that? Here, hold our beer. Here you go. They just implemented it. These are the guys that, you know, they would be perfect for this. Why wouldn't they have a tab that says search podcasts? They could do all of this.
You're not going to get a ranking that's ever real in any way of sort of like popularity. The best you can do is you can mine the data for a specific piece of information. Like, I want podcasts episodes about a topic, but right. you can't pair that with any sort of independent thing that says, okay, now out of all these results, this is quote unquote the best one. It's just, unless I'm missing something, I don't see any way.
You need that feedback loop from, okay, which ones got clicked on.
Yeah.
That's how you get back around to that PageRank thing. So this is actually, you know, this is the job to be done that, Dave, you've repeatedly failed to articulate when Adam wants to know why you want data from all the different apps, why you want popularity. It's really as weights for things like search.
Yes, more than it is. You heard me. Somebody heard me. Yes, this is you're exactly right. Like, that's that. Yes. Thank you, Nathan. I feel so validated and heard right now.
Yeah. Another feature idea that I think can be built on transcripts is, if you are going to have some sort of like ask me anything portion of a show, If you're a longtime listener and you hear somebody ask a question that's been, you're like, I know they've answered this before. You know, it would have been great in the Ask Me Anything form, in the same way that, like, if you're going to go submit a new post on Stack Overflow, it's like, oh, by the way, this has already been asked. Like, you're writing up a question right now that you think is novel, but I promise you, we've actually already addressed this, and you can get the answer immediately instead of waiting for the next episode, and hope that they pick your question. So using transcripts to enable search just of a specific show, or if you just want to search things I've listened to before, I think that is my personal, like, most interesting use that I want to see built, and maybe I have to do it myself. But, you know, restrict my search to things you know I have listened to in this app, because I'm trying to recall something right now. I'm not trying to, like, what's the world? You know, I'm curious about some topic and I want to know, you know, I'm just going to go into the search box and hope that I find a host that knows what they're talking about.
That's an interesting concept. Sort of like email at that point. It's like, well, I read this email, but I know it's in there somewhere, but I don't know which folder it's in.
Oh, it sounds a lot like the Freedom Controller.
It does. I was trying to explain to Alex something about how the way I use the Freedom Controller the other day, and I was like, yeah, well, I do it like kind of like this, and I'm like, nah, I just gave up. Screw it. It's not going to make any sense to anybody but me.
But us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also want to see boostograms alongside the transcript at the point when you like using the timestamp element, not just, you know, nobody is really using the timestamp element in an interesting way.
Well, the stats packages use it. You get a good, nice timeline. And I do look at that.
Yeah. But when the activity pub like boost crossover thing that Dave's working on is out there, I want to, you know, display that to listeners so that they can see, you know, where a boost is showing up along the episode, maybe, you know, in a Google Docs comment style experience where you can spark a whole conversation thread off of, you know, an initial boostogram, something like that. So well, I think there's plenty of new features to to build in the space.
Couldn't you take a 1%? Couldn't I add you as a split into our episode? And then you see, cause then you'd get the boost and you would see the timestamp and you'd be able to mark it.
My favorite way of adding services to podcasts.
Will you start taking splits?
I've designed my own boostogram interface, and
nice.
We'll see when I we'll see where that gets. Right now, I got more time on my hands to work on Steno. For now, we'll see.
By the way, Dave, we need to thank some people. I think for the podcastindex.org website, which was recently upgraded with the.
Yes, and Nathan is part of that cabal.
So
yes,
explain what we've done here, because it's beautiful.
All right, yeah, so play along at home. Everybody go to podcastindex.org, and Nathan will tell you what happened.
So we added cross-app comments. I wrote down the pronunciation of Guillermo.
Guillermo?
I don't think there's not an O at the end of the name. Yeah.
Who are you talking about?
Guillermo del Augustin. Yeah. Yeah. From Podstation.
Podstation dude. Yeah. Podstation dev.
he did the vast majority of the work, and I just contributed some design help and some front end code. Basically made a view only cross app comments experience on the Podcast Index website. So if you go to podcasting 2.0, scroll down, you know, find an episode and hit show comments. We use John Spurlock's ThreadCap library to pull in all the stuff attached to the root post on this episode.
Now, how do we get to actually responding from the webpage?
Never. Down the line. Well, that's down the line. That's got to, because that's when you do. I mean, the thing we came up with most recently is OAuth, you know, OAuth to a Mastodon server. And then, but that, I mean, that's like step two, you know. To me, so this sparked a lot of, you know, predictable debate about content moderation. I guess I want to just comment on that for a second. To me, the most important thing about this whole page and the way this is done, and kudos to you or Guillermo that did this, is the show comments button. The comments don't show unless you go and ask for them. To me, that's critical, because otherwise you're just at the mercy of the mob.
And this is also how YouTube does it. You have to click to get comments.
Yeah, and I think that's critically important because it takes 90% of the worry of I don't want this stuff, I don't want X thing, X comment associated with my content. You know, that when you hide it behind a user action, the same way that Mastodon does with, you know, content warning, like you're
right.
Okay, you were warned. If you, and you did it anyway. So, I mean, you kind of know it sort of in a real way puts the expectation of policing the user's eyeballs onto the user and not onto the creator. I don't know. Maybe I just feel like it's important. It's an important piece of the discussion because I don't know that we're ever, what people started talking about, you know, or is, you know, I want one comment out of all this stuff to not show up if it was like it had something profanity in it or something like that. That's not the way that Mastodon or ActivityPub, it's just not like that. You will never have that level of control. Let me rephrase that. It may be that for reasons that are peculiar to Mastodon or certain ActivityPub implementations, that when you retrieve a thread of comments, like Nathan said, when ThreadCap asks for the root post and all the posts that comes with it, it might be that just by a vagary of the way that Mastodon does things, that sometimes you could get rid of one of those comments with hiding it or muting or something like that. I don't know. I don't think we know for sure yet. But it might be that. But that's a different thing. That should not set the expectation that that's always possible across all of ActivityPub implementations, because I guarantee you, I don't think that's part of the spec, and I guarantee you that there are going to be implementations of ActivityPub that do not honor that sort of thing. They're just going to show you everything that they know about, whether it's been deleted or any of that. Is that your feeling as well, Nathan?
I think the podcaster is opting in to the set of moderation controls they want by what root post they put in the URL. So if they want to host their own situation, host their own ActivityPub server where they have full control over what replies are visible, they can, you know, go that far. And if they want to just put a link to a podcastindex.social thing, they're leaving it up to y'all, right? So they are choosing their own moderation controls based on, you know, at the point when they decide the root post. And that's the moment when they have control to decide how much moderation they want. Anything like after that point is, you know, if you're trying to, you know, ask other people's service to be managed the way you want it to be managed, then just run your own service. And, you know, different people can provide ActivityPub servers that suit your own tastes for moderation.
Yeah, I think that's the best you can hope for. I just think it's a different world. I mean, you can't. This new world of Mastodon, where everybody left the centralized thing of Twitter and they hated it. They just absolutely despised it. But it had all the moderation, tools there, but they hated it and they went to Mastodon. And the Mastodon universe is such that if somebody comments on your post and their server is not blocked, you're going to see it. You're just going to see it. That's just the way that it goes. And so, I mean, if really it's just this is the bomb. You know, we talked about, you know, to get to nuclear subs, you had to go through blow shit up. Well, this is the bomb. Guillermo and Nathan, they invented the bomb. Now we have to, you know, down the line, step two, step three, as we're going down the line, then we get to nuclear subs and, you know, and the stuff that actually is useful for society. But I mean, this stuff right here, this is step one. And I don't know that we're at the point yet where control is the proper discussion. Maybe that's what I'm
Well, but this is very typical in podcasting land, where since we didn't have both sides of the equation with hosts and apps, people just throw up roadblocks all the time on Slack channels, and nothing got anywhere. And so now we have running with scissors. That's how you get stuff done.
Yeah, and I think that's right. I just don't think there's a way. There's just not a way at this point in time to be sure that any specific sort of moderation is going to happen. I think that idea needs to be left off the table for the time being. You know, down the road we'll see. But I mean, as far as just generally speaking, the website is beautiful.
With dark mode.
Now with dark mode, I mean, like, it's fantastic. The dark mode is fantastic. The comments are fantastic. I think Guillermo was saying that he's also working on performance, like to get the comments to load a little bit faster.
Yeah,
because there is a delay there.
Or maybe give me a little spinning wheel.
Oh yes, a little spinny. Yeah,
yeah.
That's a UI decision. That's Nathan. We should talk to him about that.
Shall we?
He has a little spinner.
Shall we thank a couple people? I'm sorry to say, I just have a hard out coming up.
Oh yeah, you're not sorry to say that. You like saying that you have a hard out.
I love saying it. I hate people who say that. I've got a hard out before the meeting. I'm sorry, I have a hard out. Well, why don't you go fuck yourself then? You don't have the meeting with me. So it's nice. I'm happy to say it for once. By the way, I want to make note that we now have 12,044 feeds with value blocks in the index.
Nice.
This thing is cranking like at almost 8, 9, 10x what it used to. We'd have a couple a day. Now we're talking 30, 40 a day. And I'm not exactly sure why, other than we just rock. But I'm not sure.
That's got to be it. There's no other explanation.
That we're seeing it in transactions on the index as well. It's up. You know, yeah, we're trending. Up. We're trending up. It's very exciting. Very exciting.
Yeah, thanks, Pete.
What's that?
That's it. We were going to thank some people.
Oh yeah. Okay. Let me get the boostergrams that have come in so far, because people are always boosting live. We have Todd Cochran, who was boosted multiple times, 25,000 sats here. The challenge in programmatic ads is that the ad fill rate is about 80% and changes by the second. So the transcript offset signal would be from download to download and needs to be in the download metadata to signal the offset. We've been working with our ad delivery partner to have a solution. I have a solution.
Cool. Yeah, I'm glad to hear they're working on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Or you can use my solution. Just get rid of it.
I like that solution better.
Sakai the Horse, 1,000 sats. Thank you, Eric PP, 33,333. There's Todd Cochran again. 100,000 Satoshis.
Baller, Sakala, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
I've been adding liquidity to my personal Lightning node. Ugh, such a pain in the ass with channels. So much fun, LOL. But thank goodness Albion, Podverse, Fountain, etc. are making this easy. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
You know, I heard Todd talking about that. Yeah, I'm doing stuff with liquidity. I'm like, no, stay away. Don't do it.
Stop it, Todd.
Stop, Todd. Stop. It's a hole. You do not want to go down there. You don't. I'm just saying, out of love, brother. Out of love.
Yeah, let Sir Spencer, just get on with Sir Spencer. Let him do a ring of fire with you and you'll be done.
Ring of fire. 6666 from Booberry. Mainstream conspiracy podcasts and bitching about suppression on Spotify go together like peanut butter and spoiled mayo. For the love of all good things and natural, make it stop. I have no idea what he's talking about.
I have no idea either.
Sir Lurks a Lot with a super leet, 13,370. La 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 Lit Boost. Thank you very much. Stephen B. A Satchel of Richards, 11,111. Shameless plug. MusicSideProject.com is now live. Listen to and boost your favorite RSS music feeds. I'm also working on an MSP studio. MSP? Microsoft Project?
Managed Service Provider?
I don't know. Which will be a simplified version of Sovereign Feeds. A music service provider studio. MSP. What is MSP? What does MSP stand for? Which will be a simplified version of Sovereign Feeds, which I use, focused on making a music feed. Decentralized music for the win. Music Side Project Studio. Duh. MSP.
Oh, duh, yeah.
Okay, I got you. We got our Dreb Scott there with the 333,333. We thanked him for that. Boobery was in early. Listening to some of the, we were playing, we always start off when we hit the lit about 10, 15 minutes before we start with 100% retro sing along. And he was boosting along to Shakira. And he boosted, "Oh Baby, When You Boost Like That." Nice. 13,369.
Boobery, huge Shakira fan.
Beautiful. Let me see. Pfeiffer, 3,800. Breeze is stubbornly refusing to refill my CurioCaster wallet, boosting the remaining balance. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
Dovidas, who I heard on, he's rssblue.com, right?
Yep.
A very interesting guy. Starting off from scratch with a hosting company, all 2.0. Love it. 25,000 sats, thank you. And there's Martin Lindeskog with a nice row of ducks, 22,222. He says, "I wonder if Apple Podcast app is searchable for the ducks in the row." I doubt it. "I've added chapters with my images that my co-host, Karina Redenius, has created in Canva. I used Visi.fm Studio to add the images. Could it be that Captivate is not supporting chapters yet?" I don't know. And then I think SLC, no, that's for no agenda. I think that's it. The rest would be on your output of the boostergrams, Dave.
Oh, yes. We have no PayPals. This no weekly.
Transition complete.
It's done. We're over.
Wait, hold on. Here it is.
Meow.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. You, nice. I like it.
Row of sticks from Joel W. 1111. No note through Fountain. And we got a Harv Hat 10101 binary boost through CurioCaster. Nice. No note from Harv Hat. Thank you, Harv Hat. 438 sats from Sir Michael. It's a little low, but I thought it was a good note. "Hey, Dave, would you please approve my pull request? Okay, thanks. Bye." Yes, I will.
That's always a weird thing for guys to say to each other. I just
approve my pull request.
Yeah.
Stop it.
I know.
Stop.
Yeah, there it is.
Oppie 1984, 2000 sats through Fountain. It says 100%.
No.
No, what I think you mean, Oppie, is painstakingly.
Or I say 5x5. That's my new one.
Ooh,
5x5. Like 5x5.
In the pipe.
Yeah, in the pipe.
Satoshi Stream 5552 through Fountain. It says 25 years of XML. And he has a link to the RFC for XML. Nice.
Happy birthday, XML. That's right.
Yes. Yeah, Satoshi Stream just really fired up about XML. Chad F, 1000 sats through Podverse. He says test boost from the Orion browser on iOS using podverse.fm and the Albi extension.
Wow. Oh, that's right. You can run the extensions in the Orion browser. That's right.
Chad F is doing he's the official bookkeeper now of the podcasting 2.0 and going back and doing every accounting on every single episode.
I'm not sure exactly what the point is, but it's interesting. It shows that value for value works. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
go ahead.
When you're done, send it to us. I can send it to CPA for taxes.
Yeah, I want to. Can you do it in QuickBooks?
QuickBooks. Yeah. Clarkian sent us 10,000 sats through Fountain. He says, "Thanks, guys. Keep up the awesome work. Wishing there was an easy way to get normie listeners converted to V4V and BTC, but it seems they still want to default to PayPal and CuckBucks. Hard to break through the years of bad education and McGovernment money propaganda."
It is indeed very difficult. But if you keep at it and you don't give the easy way out, which Korean the Keeper has done, which really been very hard. Most people just, it turns out a lot of people, I just click on the link when you tweet it out. I just listen in the browser. So we've actively said, please do this. We promote a different value for value app each time. And they're only the ones that do refills in the app. It's hard. It is very hard to start with any listener group who are not already clued in. But it's well worth it because people, when it comes through, when you read their boostergram, everyone's kind of jazzed. It's a good feeling. It's worth hanging in there.
Dave Jackson, 10,000 sass Hall of Famer. Yeah. Dude, Fountain Nappy says, I remember Lily and Axe on the ball. Love them. Play play the day that I met you for the keeper. You'll thank me later.
I did. I did. And you know what, Dave? Thank you.
You got a hard out.
Right? Nailed it. A very hard out on that one.
Yeah. Go approve your pull request.
Okay. All right. You went to one step too far.
No. Wait, Harv Hat did it to me. It's his fault. Mere Mortals Podcast 8008 boob donation through Fountain. He says, oh, I know how to explain the split simply. Imagine there are 8.5 people, and we want to evenly split the sets according to the ratio of their good mic technique divided by the square root of their filler words. If we assume an exponential Keynesian model, there's infinite incoming sats. Knowing this, each person will receive a percentage that adds up to 100. Wait, what? Okay.
Meow. Yeah, baby.
3780 from Anonymous through Castomatic. No note. Thank you.
Have you noticed Castomatic getting a little more action lately?
I have. Yeah. Yeah. It's coming up. If you're on an iPhone, you haven't tried Castomatic. If you haven't tried to send a boost that way, I would recommend it. Like, go do a boost to Castomatic and look at the way Franco, if there's a problem and one of the splits fails, the screen that comes up, it's really cool. I mean, you can see exactly what's going on. Like, he's done a lot. He just keeps doing a lot of work there, and he never tells anybody what he's doing. It just keeps getting better silently under the covers. Like, all of a sudden, I just notice new things pop up all the time.
So cool.
It's a good app. Yeah. I am Robot 8008 through Fountain. He says, shout out to Craps. Crippled apps, go podcasting.
The Craps.
Go podcasting!
Forgot about that. Yes.
SLC 7777, Striper Boost through Fountain. He says, casting off the god of mammon with podcasting 2.0. Boost!
Oh, yeah.
Boost! Some quack, 111, says, I love this show. Do my low sat boosts also cost you money? I will save up and boost bigger if rarer and so. Okay.
Well, just boost bigger all the time.
Boost.
Always a good idea.
Always the answer. Yeah. Mere Mortals Podcast, Row of Ducks, 2222 through Fountain. He says, some quack asked an important question, but it was beneath the cutoff, so I just wanted to make sure it got read. To quote, love this show to my list. Oh, okay. I will save up and boost bigger. Wait, what? This must be on the quote. This must be on the comments on Fountain. That must be where this stuff is happening.
Oh.
Okay. That one threw me for a loop.
Oh, he's responding okay, yeah.
to his comment. Yeah, okay. See, oh, okay. So that was his way of boosting his comment so that it would come through and I would read it.
Oh.
Interesting. Okay. 5,000 sats from Anonymous on Podverse, no note. 25,000 sats from Borlaug through Podverse. And he says, just wanted to send my gratitude completely and in full for what the two of you are doing. Well, thank you, Borlaug. Appreciate it. Sir Brian of London, 169,000 sats to the podcast index website.
Whoa.
Baller, shot caller, 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
Whilst my new recurring donation system via Hive is in development, I'll send my catch up boost this way via the PI website. Well, that's nice of you, sir. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate that, brother.
Nice.
Oscar Mary. 33015. Howdy, Dave and Adam. Oscar boosting on behalf of Comic Strip Blogger as a test to make sure all the splits are green.
he is our canary in the coal mine. Doesn't work. Yes. Happy app, not worky.
Happy. I like his comment that Yoda was wrong. There is try. Yes. Tone Wrecker 10101, the binary boost through Podverse. He says, something new to test. MusicSideProject.com. Thank you, Stephen B. Oh, always the king of the haiku.
Yes. Yeah, the king of the haiku.
Tone Wrecker, big Satchel of Richards, 11111 through Fountain. He says, wavelake.com helps. Nearly 100 artists sharing their music.
They have 100 artists on have been put into the index? Is that how I interpret that?
I don't know. We'll see. I'll have to come back to that later. Lyceum 22222 through Fountain says, I wonder if Apple Podcasts app is searching for the ducks in the. Oh, you already read that. Did you already read that? Was that a boost that came in just a second ago?
Yes. We've been through that one. Where's Comics or Blogger? Was that the delimiter? No.
Did you read Dovey Doss is 25,000?
Yes, I did.
Okay. All right. So I hit the bottom.
All right. You hit the bottom. You're rock bottom.
They hit bottom. Comic strip blogger 33015 through Fountain. And he says, Adam and Dave, high priests atop the black box mystery school of the podcast pyramid, please accept this offering of sats as our initiation fee. As tectonic plates of ingenuity continue to shift, we beseech the boardroom's attendees to reconcile the colliding of manufactured sentience and freeze peach by downloading the AI.cooking podcast, read by TV show deviser Gregory Foreman. Yo, CSB, second try.
Boost! Thank you, CSB. And we had a latecomer here from someone named Hal Was Right. A short row of sticks. 11:11. I saw the live tag on Podverse, felt compelled to boost. See how that works?
Yep.
Just the live
dopamine
tag.
Hit.
Just the live tag. Dopamine hit, exactly. All right. We have any monthlies to account for?
We do. We got Terry Keller at $5. Chris Cowan, $5. Jeffrey Rutherford, $5. Jeremy Cavanaugh, $10. Derek J. Visker, $21. Paul Saltzman, $22.22. Damon Kasajak, $15. David Norman, our buddy at Hypercatcher, $25. Jeremy Gerds, $5. Timothy Hudgens, my buddy, $25. And David Woodfine, $3. And that's
thank you all very much. This podcast, as along with the entire Podcasting 2.0 podcastindex.org project, is value for value. No creepy corporate money, no VCs, no advertising, just the people who participate in the project. And if you're listening to this, you're just a listener, you're more than welcome to contribute. Go to podcastindex.org, go down to the bottom. You can two red donate buttons. One is for Tallycoin, which I did check earlier. I'll just make sure if you wanted to send us that full Bitcoin that you've been has been jingling in your pocket. Like, oh, what am I going to do with this thing? You can scan the QR code there. No one did that today. You can use your fiat fund coupons if you want, which is through PayPal. But we encourage you go to podcastapps.com. There you can see a whole bunch of cool things that are working with podcastindex.org, including apps. And they'll tell you exactly what features they use. And please give one or give all of them a try. It's well worth it. And just remember to boost. Boost. Boost often. Boost hard. Boost deep.
Boost!
Just made that up.
Wow. ISOBot coming up.
Yeah, really. We need to get one of those nut jobs from the chat room on the show, in the boardroom, Dave. Whoever's doing all these. We've got... Boost bots, ISO bots. I mean, there's something called Gal.
I'm sure it's Boobery. Sure it's him.
Whoever it is, we need.
He's killing goats.
We need to bring him in. It probably is Boobery. Yep. All right.
What else?
I don't know.
You got a hard out.
I got a hard out coming up.
Hey, by the way, we reused a title from No Agenda.
We did.
Yeah. Lawful but awful. It's like episode 14 something you already used with lawful but awful. We need a search. We need a title search so we don't accidentally.
Oh goodness. That's on me. I mean usually I'm pretty good catching that stuff. Cuz we've even used titles on No Agenda that we've used before on No Agenda.
Again for the second time.
I mean 1530 episodes, you know, it gets a little fuzzy. That's a little fuzzy. I just want to congratulate Zion, Zion who launched something. They initially were trying to, I think that they took the whole Sphinx, what was that thing called again? The Sphinx Relay? They took the open source code and turned it into, well, whatever it is, they rebranded as Web5 app, and now they got $6 million. So congratulations.
Nathan, you should do that.
Yeah,
you
just read Web5. Web5. Put in Web5, man. Web5 app. It's a Web5 experience.
You've got so much blank space at the top of steno.fm. You could easily fit the words Web5 up there with a logo.
I agree. With Web5, you know, hey, maybe that's our title. Web5! What do you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go. Web5.
Web5.
And then, and you get $6 million. I'm going to do it.
The title is either We're Trending, which I like, or Web5. What do you want? Which one do we choose here? We're Trending is pretty good, too, actually.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah. We'll use
Trending. Because we are trending on, I mean, that's literally true.
It's true. It's not a lie.
And you finally figured out how to explain why you wanted popularity stuff. So There you go.
That's true. Yes. Yeah, that's right.
And one thing I wanted to throw out there, which I thought was interesting, you know, this podcast one is spinning out of, what is it? Radio One?
Live One.
But what they're doing, and I just want to make sure that I'm not the only one smelling this. So here's the release. Podcast One is partnering with Versus Game to offer listeners a way to engage with the network's podcast host through gamification. Mini games have been launched on the platform that enable listeners to watch and answer prediction and opinion-based questions to win rewards. Does this sound like one of those scams where people are playing a game and it plays a little bit of the podcast?
I think it's more like Google Opinion Rewards plus podcast listening.
What does that mean?
Have you ever heard of Google Opinion Rewards? It's basically like, hey, would you like to take a survey and we'll give you a little bit of Google Play credit?
Oh, all right.
So when I heard their numbers, they were like, man, Podcast One had a great revenue this quarter. Yeah, like, and it's like, they're about to IPO.
Like, of course they're going to. But they had like $3 million or something.
Yeah, it was like, but they're literally about to IPO as a separate company. Of course, they're going to say that they have a bunch of money.
Their total revenue, annual revenue, if I didn't misunderstand, was $12 million. That's not, and that's not profit. That's revenue. They expect I've read some of their documents. They don't expect to be profitable for quite a while. $12 million in revs? Come on, people. Where is all that billion dollars?
You could get half of that with Web 5.
I think John Spurlock has all the $1 billion in podcasting. I don't know. Someone has it.
It's all in John's basement.
Exactly. Oh, man. Hey, Nathan, thank you so much, man. This is great. You are a great board member to have on. A lot of cool stuff. Thank you for your contributions. Very impressed.
Thanks for having me.
And I don't want to disparage anybody, but it's really our huge benefit to us. To the community. It's fantastic. Really love having you here.
And thanks for bringing everybody Starbucks to the boardroom. That was nice.
I really appreciate that. Next time I'd like the croissant though. One of those heated croissants.
Yeah. Cheese Danish, please.
All right. Thank you very much, chat room, for being with us. Thank you to all the boosters. Nathan, thank you. The place to be is steno.fm.
Yep.
And I put the your blog post, which I think you posted. Was that from today, the blog post?
Yeah.
I put that in the show notes. I'm going to take a look at that. And if you wouldn't mind emailing me as soon as you can a Lightning wallet, or do you have a GetAlbi or something?
Nathan G at GetAlbi.
Oh, thank you. That helps a lot. Let me put that right. And by the way, people can boost him directly now. Nathan G at... That's quite handy. Dave, we need Adam at podcastindex.org and Dave at podcastindex.org.
Now I can make that happen.
Really?
Yes, of course.
That's exciting.
It's just a keysend resolve.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's do it. I love it. I can just walk around and say, you like me? Adam at podcastindex.org.
No thanks to the L and URL guys, but we just did it ourselves.
Exactly. Bastards. All right. That's it. Everyone have a great weekend. Dave, I love you, brother. Nathan, thank you so much. We'll see you next Friday for the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Stop the hammering!
Go podcasting!
Meow.